sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, Christ shall come with shouts of acclamation and take me home. Oh, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration
Baptist Press preaching for us here at Ray Street Baptist Church.
Thank you, sir. Amen.
Just before we get started, I'll give you a few examples of some of the things that we have been involved in here lately. Recently, we sent a container full of Spanish Bibles to Peru. A missionary there named Don Rich is in Peru, and he's our distribution point. And he distributed those Spanish Bibles in 7 South American countries. It took him 18 and a half months to get rid of 25,500 Bibles. In some of the churches he went into, the only person that had a Bible in the church was the pastor. Amen? And so we sent him another container full, and he distributed those in 4.5 months. I had pastors coming out of the, literally out of the jungles, carrying knapsacks to get Bibles for their people. He'd go to Bible conferences, and they would just, he ended up having to take names when he ran out of Bibles. Reason is, because in a place like South America, most of the people can't afford Bibles if they could even find them. Amen? Where would you be without a Bible? You know, a Christian needs a Bible. Lost man needs a gospel. Amen? And that's why it's so important. And we are endeavoring to send him a container every year and encouraging churches about that, the need of that as well, to help us to do that. So it's a blessing. He's actually able now to get into all 9 Spanish-speaking South American countries with the gospel. And that's a great blessing. And so we covet your prayers for that. Also, an exciting thing that happened here not too long ago, a missionary in Uganda, Brother Stensis, had just finished translating John and Romans into their native language, Luganda. They'd never had the scriptures in their language. And we had the privilege of sending the first 350,000 copies there to Uganda. Now, I'm told on the foreign field that John Romans in a third world country will be read by 2 to 7 people before it falls apart. We're not used to that in America, amen? And of those 7 people, 2 to 4 will get saved. Now, I don't know. I'm just saying that's, missionaries have said it seems about right. Amen? I know this, if they have an open heart, the Word of God can do it. Amen? And so sending those, and to this right now, they're being distributed. So people are being saved. It's a great blessing. And as Brother Jim said, the greatest amount of things that we have printed have been the John and Romans. So I encourage you to go to the website. We'll answer your questions as best I can. And then have you, if you're interested, go to the website, look it over, and see about our history and home church and all that. And pray for us. We covet your prayers. Amen? Now, the reason my wife and I are missionaries as well, that's how they do it with our representatives. Our home church supports us, of course, some. But we're raising support for ourselves, and we're at about 75%. My history, real quickly, is I pastored 24 years, started a church in 1985. I was there 18 and a half years. And then I went with the Fellowship Track League 2 years and helped them. It was Brother Wash Pennington's associate and helped them distribute the tracts. Then pastored 6 years in Indiana. And then now my wife and I have been on the road 6 years and soon to start our 7th year with Victory Baptist Press. The reason why God had us do this, and I'm soon to be 64. Of course, my wife's much younger than I. But the reason why I would do a ministry like this at this time of my life, I have 2 brothers retired before they were 60. But the reason why, of course, in the ministry, you don't retire, you just refire. Amen? Or somebody props you up and you do it. One of the two. But the reason is the way we were saved. My wife and I drove semi for a local grocery company in Akron, Ohio in 1980. Never been to church, didn't know anything about the gospel, other than what I come across Billy Graham saying on TV from time to time. And did hear the gospel, I might say that too, but it didn't affect me at the time. I started finding these little pieces of paper in the store I delivered to, and for a year and a half from time to time, I'd find those little pieces of paper, and I'd read them. And never take one, leave it sit, never take it. It was a gospel track. Put me under old-fashioned Holy Spirit conviction. Amen? I was miserable. They made me miserable. And I asked a man, came to help his daughter convalesce from an operation. It was our neighbor. I asked him about it. And he invited us to a small independent Baptist church up the road. We went 2 weeks. And on the next Friday night, March 14, 1980, the pastor came by the house and my wife and I were saved and never been the same since. Amen. That's how I got saved, because of the Word of God. Amen. And so I've always had a hand in production, distribution of God's Word, trying to get it out and get it in the gate somehow. Amen. And to help folks in their path and their way to get saved. That's our burden. And so this was a natural one for God to lead us to this ministry. In fact, I prayed and asked God, help me in the next 30 years of my ministry to affect more souls than I did in the first 30 years. Amen. Now, don't get me wrong. I didn't have them hanging out the windows or sitting outside trying to get in or anything like that. But we affected quite a few. And this is the ministry God led me to. I'd be happy to pastor till Jesus come. But I just couldn't get away from this burden. And God assured me this is how we'll affect more souls, by getting the Word of God out. Amen? So that's why we're here. That's why we're part of Victory Baptist Press, a tremendous ministry. Now, if you ever go down to Pensacola, Florida to see the beautiful white sandy beaches, first you have to go in the winter or you'll have to get right with God. Amen? But if you go there, they are beautiful and they are white. But if you go there, just before you cross Pensacola Bay, is the Milton, Florida exit. You turn toward town, travel 5 miles on the right-hand side, Victory Baptist Church. And in the back of the church, you'll see the print shop. Feel free to go in and witness a miracle personally. Amen? And so it is. And it's a tremendous ministry, and we're happy to be a part of it. And it's a great blessing to have a hand in getting God's word out to sowers. Amen? To those who sow the seed. Amen? You don't always reap, but you can sure sow, can't you? In this world you and I live in today is a mess. I don't have to tell you that. Amen. It's a mess, but Jesus said it would be in the last days. Did he not? If you have your Bible, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're just going to look at one simple verse here to begin with. Amen. But there's a battle going on, and you and I are soldiers, amen? And the enemy is powerful and wise and doing all that he can to thwart the work that God has given us to do. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 7, very simply, the Bible says this. Yeah, I'm sorry, 2 Timothy chapter 1, pardon me, I hope I didn't say 1 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen? Now, I'm sure that you've heard of David's mighty men. Turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 23, if you will. 2 Samuel chapter 23. David had some mighty men. I'm not going to read all these, but I want to look at a few of them, and particularly one tonight, and get an idea of the type of character that was exhibited by these mighty men of David, beginning in verse number 8 of 2 Samuel 23. Verse number 8, the Bible says, these be the names of the mighty men whom David had. The Techmanite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains. The same was Adino, the Esnite. He lifted up a spear against 800, whom he slew at one time. Can you imagine that? Amen. 800 men he killed at one time. Amen. And after him was Eliezer, the son of Dodo, and Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David, when they defied the Philistines that were there gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword, and the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. This man fought so long that his hand, can I say, cramped or just was sealed onto that sword. Amen. Oh, that we could get God's people to fight for the word of God until their hand clave to that sword. Amen. And there are, I'll tell you this, since we started this ministry, we've been in about 450 churches. And I want you to know there are good churches out there still today just trying to do the work of God. Amen. It's not like every church is falling by the wayside. You say, have you been in any of the other kind? Well, we'll not talk about those tonight, amen? But we've been in a lot of good churches, and I hope that's an encouragement to you, amen? Look down at verse 11. After him was Shema, the son of Agi, a Harite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop and were in a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines, but he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. Now, that's amazing. This man stood in the midst of a little patch of lentils and protected that ground. Now, really, the patch of lentils didn't mean a whole lot. Amen? But the fact that he stood the ground when the others ran and fought the battle. Amen? Isn't that a great thought about character? That a man could stand and fight the battles. Amen? Well, you know, I believe the Lord has given you and I a little lentil patch to protect. It's not very significant or big as far as the world's concerned. But for you and I, it's a tremendous place to battle and fight. Amen? I've heard preachers say, you know, draw a circle around there, step in the circle and say, I give all this to the Lord. I agree with that. But you know what controls everything in that circle? Your mind. Amen? Your mind. Wherever you call the soul, you'll call the spirit, your mind is where the battleground is. Your mind, things slip through there that would embarrass you to death if they were made public. Amen? Because we're still in this flesh. Amen? So the battle is on in the mind. And God has given you a lentil patch and he says, I want you to defend this from the forces of evil, from all the things that the flesh and the world and the devil would try to do with it. I want you to keep it pure. Amen? And I want you to fill it with my word and let it direct you properly. And I want you to produce inside of yourself character to fulfill the will of God for your life. You know, it's different for every one of us, don't you? Every one of us is different. We all have different genetics. I don't know a lot about that. Amen. My goal in life is to be a truck driver, so I don't work. But I've been told we all have different genetics. Amen. You don't have the same parents I do. You were raised in a different culture. You can travel 100 miles either way, and you're going to be in a different culture. Amen? Yeah, amen? Now, we were down in New Iberia, Louisiana, and they had that crawdad boil. You know how they do that and pour that out. And they're eating those tails, and I thought, well, the tails were pretty good. When they got down to what they do with the heads of them things, I said, I'm taking a break here. Amen. They love that. So, well, you're raised with it. It'd be great, wouldn't it? Amen. Whether you were raised with a creek or a crick, whatever it is, it's still a different culture everywhere you go. Different foods. The pastor we're parked with now says, you got to have a Philly cheesesteak. I never had anything like that, but when you look like me, you'll eat one and try it. Amen? It's just kind of natural. I understand that, but we're all raised in different circumstances, and some had a good childhood, some had a very terrible childhood. Can you imagine some of the things people do to children today? But no matter what it is, God, then you come to the Lord and you say, well, he washed it all away. No, he washed the sin away. But he wants to take all of that experience you've had in your life and he wants to sanctify it for his use and make it a plus instead of a minus. You know what he wants to do? He wants to prove to this world that it's better to be saved than lost. Isn't that his goal? But you get around some Christians, you think they were raised in a pickle factory. They're all pooched up and, amen. Now, I know there's a battle, and I know that sometimes we're weary, and I understand that because we're in the flesh and we're human, aren't we? But there is a battle going on, amen. You know, the Lord set the tone for this warfare in 2 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 7, when he said this, thou therefore endure hardness. That tells me there's going to be hardness in our life. As a good soldier of Jesus Christ, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Now, he's not saying you shouldn't take care of business, make sure your bills are paid, take care of your home, make sure your car's running, all those things, amen? But what he's talking about is being so entrapped in the name. You know, today, people are so enamored by things, and hobbies are eating people alive, especially Christians. Amen. And you look at it today. You know, when I was a kid, you'd grab your mitt and run up to the ball field. And if there were six or eight guys there, you'd try to get together and have a ball game. And they'd pick people. They'd never pick me because I couldn't run, throw, or anything. Amen? But I was the last one picked. Amen? Now, in football, they loved me, but not in baseball. But you'd play a game for a while, get all hot and sweaty, and everybody take off and go home. Amen? Can't do that today. You got to have something organized. You got to have expense. You got to have all the things so you look like you're playing for a national baseball team. I'm not against that. I'm just telling you, though, it's eating people up. Amen? So that's what he's talking about, being entangled in the affairs of this life. That he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. But you know you're a soldier? Amen? You are. If you're saved, you're a soldier. And if a man also strive for mastery, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. There's a way to gain a crown. Amen? It's God's way, not our way. Man, I see it all the time, people trying to do church their way instead of God's way. But mark this down. God hadn't changed. Amen? He's still holy. He's still pure. Amen? And he's not going to use the things of this world to draw a crowd. Amen. And when they do, then all they get is things of the world. Amen? All right, well, we'll go on from there. Amen? The Bible says, "A husband that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." But we've got to defend this little lentil patch that God has given us, our mind. Turn with me to Romans 12, Romans chapter number 12. You live in a day today where we have more health care than ever, and yet we're sicker than we've ever been. Amen. And if you're not sick, they'll find a way to make you that way. We have more pills. Amen. They're talking about this epidemic and that epidemic, but you have to have somebody take them before you have an epidemic. What is the draw to get out of this world? What is the problem with being in the moment that it forces people to take things to relieve themselves from what? Life is supposed to be a blessing. Amen. But we've got people taking pills for everything under the sun. Now, I'm not against pills. I'm not trying to tell you that. If a doctor prescribes them and you need them, fine. Amen? I doubt if Pastor has a healing line up here and take care of you. So if you need pills, you take them. Amen? So I'm not against that. I'm just saying, they say these prescription pills are the big problem now and leading people into all these drugs and things. Well, why is that if life is so good for a lost man? Amen? Well, the reason is because it's not. They're doing everything they can to try to make it. But I'll tell you who has it best, you and me, who're saved. Amen? Because you and I know that if we died right now, we'd be with Jesus Christ. Amen? And Paul said it's a far better thing, didn't he? Romans 12, verse number 1. You remember this portion, I'm sure. Paul said, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed," now look at this, "by the renewing of your mind." There's the battleground. "That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Prove it to who? Prove it to yourself and prove it to the world. Amen? "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that's among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man," look at this, "the measure of faith." God has given or provided for you everything you need to be able to accomplish his perfect will in your life. Amen? And the result of that will, though it may be different for every one of us, there's things that are very similar in it, I understand that, but the result of it will be, you will show all your family and all your friends, it's better to be saved than to be lost. But if you kick at the pricks and fight against God, then you will be poochy-faced yourself. Amen? Because there's nothing that makes a Christian more unhappy than fighting with God. Because he wins. Amen? Amen. Proverbs 23 and verse 7, the Bible says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." You have a barometer for testing how you're doing. It's your own mind, your conscience. Amen? The conscience is a great gift that God has given to us. Amen? But that will convict you of your mind. And your mind is a testimony of what's going on in your heart. You saw where I read there in Romans 12 about the fact that we have to renew our mind there in verse number 2 by the renewing of your mind. What's that mean? Well, it's kind of like the old computers. If you ever had an old one years ago when they put them together, I had friends that put them together. And they, you know, they were pretty slow. But for us at that day, they seemed pretty good. But you ever notice after a while they get to moving really, really slow? And they'd say, it's time for you to defrag your computer. You remember that? Now, I'm glad they must do it automatic today, because that was a pain in the neck to do back then. But you hit that button, up comes that square screen with all them colors, and they're all spread everywhere. Because the computer would pull files off that main drive and put them back in different places, and they'd get scattered. And when you wanted that program and that pull files from all over the place trying to get it together, that's what took so long. So defragging it, it would pull those out and put them back where they belong, just getting everything straight in that computer again. Amen? That's what renewing your mind is, by the washing of water by the word, getting your mind back where it ought to be. Washing away the filth of the world and the things of the world, the testimony of the world, the fears of the world. Listen, you and I are subject to the same things the people in this world are. The fears, amen, the anxieties, the concerns, the depressions. Christians get depressed sometimes, amen? But your victory and mine isn't in some pill, it's in Christ. And as you renew your mind, what you're doing is protecting yourself, setting up a protection, a shield against the wiles of the devil. And how do you do that? Oh, it's so simple. Just read and study your Bible every day. Amen? That's not the only thing you have to do. I know that. But I'm saying, if you read your Bible and study your Bible every day, and you're where the Bible is preached, you're giving God the opportunity to be able to straighten out your mind and my mind. You ever been around ouchy people? Ever had any members wherever you've been get ouchy? Everybody grins, yeah? You know what happens? You get a little off. You put the Bible down. That's the first thing that goes. You start missing a service here and there. Then all of a sudden the pastor says something ruffles your feathers. Amen? And or somebody will say, you're rustling my fur. Somebody, God always said, well, then turn the cat around. Amen? That's how it happens. You and I have got to have our minds renewed, because there is nothing in us on our own but sin. Apart from God, that's all there is. And the only thing we can do is wash that mind with the Word of God every day. I don't know how much you should read. That's between you and God. But here's what I'm saying. That is the Word of God. That's what He gave you. Amen. It's the greatest gift other than the indwelling Jesus Christ that you and I could get, is the Word of God in our hands. It is God's power. Listen, the Holy Spirit is the workman. And I believe the Bible is His toolbox. When I was a lost man driving that truck and I read those tracks, the verses in those, I received them. I didn't reject them. I didn't understand them, but I received them. You know what the Holy Ghost did? He took those verses and produced faith. You know what He showed me first? Now this is a cut down simple version. First, He showed me I was a sinner. Amen? I thought I was pretty good. I had a wife and two little girls. I'd always been faithful. I had always paid my bills. Amen? I thought I was a pretty good father and a good husband. Yeah, I thought I was a pretty good husband. I thought I was so, amen. I thought I was doing pretty good. But then this thing told me I was a sinner. Amen. And I agreed with that. I saw that. But then He didn't stop there. He showed me Christ was the Savior. Amen. And I thank God for that glorious day when I bowed the head and called on the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't feel the earth shake. Hey, you know, after I got saved, I found out how to get assurance. You know, you live in the flesh, don't you? You put your Bible down, your faith dries up. Because you don't have any faith. It comes from God. Amen? So what about assurance? Where do you get assurance? Well, you have to buy my book. No, Now, there are some things true, and those verses are true in there, but that didn't help me reading everybody's pamphlet and booklet I could find on it. Amen? Until I spent all night in the book of John, in the book of 1 John, and I read and I prayed. When I left that room in the morning, I could say, now listen, I didn't see any visions. The earth didn't shake. Amen? But I could say with the Apostle Paul, I know whom I believed and am persuaded he's able to keep that which I committed him against that day. What persuaded me? God's word in the hand of the Holy Spirit persuaded me. Amen? And that's what we need. We need that washing of our mind. That's the blessing of being a child of God and having his word. Amen? He wants you to be successful as a Christian, and success is in his eyes. But he wants you to be successful. And I believe this, we shouldn't put on a false face. You ever been around any of those? You know, they put on this spiritual thing when you're around them and it doesn't ring true. Kind of sounds like tin's been hit somewhere. But I mean, I've been around people who are at peace, even in the battle. Amen? And they're a blessing, aren't they? They portray something, that it's better to be saved than it is to be lost. Amen? And I still believe there are people looking for that. I want to see the real thing in people in this world today. Amen? You know, the Bible commends us, 1 Corinthians 8:2, that if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. Amen? You and I have to be constantly striving for the will of God and the mind of Christ. Amen? As we grow in our salvation, we often become complacent in the assessment of our own thoughts as to our mindset in spiritual things. And the Bible assures us that in Romans 11:33, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Amen? God's pool, if you will, is so deep, you'll never reach the bottom. In studying God's word, you always must grow. If you're 99 years old, you still need to grow in Christ. You'll never stop. And about the time you back up, about the time you let it slide and back away and get away, you are backsliding. It's simple as that. Amen? And you can never think it won't happen to you. Now, here's one reason. You've had every advantage. You were born in this country. You probably have multiple copies of God's word in your house. And I'm not going to chide you for that. Man, I've had preachers just run you up a rail and down for having 10 copies. I'm not going to do that. Why? Because the reason you can do that is because somebody before us paid the price. Amen? So you have the word of God. But think of those 6,000 people groups on the face of the earth that don't have one word of scripture in their language. If they would happen to get saved, how do they grow? Amen? It's not just the fact, well, I'm saved, so I'll grow. No. To grow, you have to have God's word. To mature and to grow. Amen? It is still the entrance of his word that giveth light. Amen? So that's why a ministry like Victory Baptist Press, I believe, is so important. Your Bible is important to you, isn't it? As you read the word of God, listen, even 1 Chronicles. I've had even pastors say, oh, I skip all them names. Don't you skip them names. Amen. I was amazed, actually, when I got saved that they taught me how to read in high school. My whole goal was to drive truck. But they taught me phonetically how to read. It was amazing to me. I was almost astounded. Amen. But still, the point of the matter is, there's something in 1 Chronicles God wants you to see every time you read through it. Every day you open your Bible, God has something for you. When you pray and say, God, show me, what you're doing is asking God to help you prepare yourself to open your heart and receive what he has for you that day. And he'll do it. I promise you, he'll do it. And what a blessing it is. Amen. I don't know why Christians are scared to draw close to God. Amen. He is a wonderful Savior. He'll never hurt you. Amen. He'll never hurt you. He'll give you peace and joy unspeakable. Amen. His ways aren't our ways. We know that. So I want you to pray for ministries like ours that are trying to help people that cannot receive Scripture to get Scriptures in their hands so they can grow. Those 75,000 Spanish Bibles now in the hands of Christians in South America, something's going to happen. When you give a Christian a Bible and they're determined to read it, how many preachers do you think are determined? I haven't got a clue. I don't know. But there's going to be some young man that's going to read that Bible and God's going to deal with his heart, and you have no idea what kind of a servant of God he's going to turn out to be. Amen? Isn't that the blessing? And you may have one of them in this town. You don't know it. How are we going to find out? Just sow the seed. First, show them. Let them see it in you. Then sow the seed. Amen? And that's the ministry that God has given to us, a seed ministry. We produce it and we send it free. Since 1984, we've sent out, I haven't got a clue how much, thousands and thousands of pounds of scriptures free of charge all over this world. Amen? 34 foreign countries, every state in the United States. We've sent John Romans to every state. They're being spread all over. Amen? Ministry I was with in Fellowship Tract League, they've printed over 4 billion tracts. Amen? All over this United States. What a blessing. All over the world. But what a blessing it is. You know something? I'm so happy God called me to preach. I really am. Amen? You say, aren't you afraid to stand before God one day? Well, listen, if I stand before God and I did my best and still messed everything up, I think he's still going to say, well done. If I did it by faith. Amen. And I'm grateful for my wife. I remember she was settled to be a pastor's wife. And our daughter, our oldest daughter, is married to my son-in-law, pastors in Cincinnati. But before they were missionaries in Mexico for 9 years. And then her health, they had to come home for her health. And he started Hispanic missions there at the church he's in now. And the pastor got pancreatic cancer, and when he was dying, he wanted Ron to take the church, and the people agreed, and so he's pastor. Amen? But it's an amazing thing, isn't it, to watch these things happen and know that God's got his hand on it. Amen? But what I'm trying to tell you is my son-in-law and my daughter just came home, and my wife thought, now I got them all my little chicks are in a basket right near us here, 45 minutes away, and I had to tell her, no, honey, God called us to hit the road. And she said, okay, let's go. Every knickknack she had was gone. We had 40 years worth of knickknacks and stuff. We had to have 10 garage sales to get rid of it all. Amen. Now the only thing we have, you can fit in that fifth wheel. And she was happy to. Somebody said, oh, you poor thing. Poor thing. Wait till she stands before God one day. And he says, that's it. Man, I was cheering for you, young lady. Amen? And see the work that's been done. That's the blessing. Amen? And amen. All right.
All right. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's blessing on this man's ministry. And thank you again for coming.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Dear God in heaven, we thank you for your goodness to us. And help us, Lord, to keep our minds, as the preacher said, defragged. And get it renewed each and every day. We need to do it on a daily basis. And the Word of God, so precious that we have in our laps, even though, Lord, many times we do take it for granted. We don't realize how some people would give anything, for just even a portion of the Bible. Help us to realize how important it ought to be to us. And may it be our daily bread. And I pray you'd be with this preacher, missionary, wife, as they go forth. You'd take care of their needs. And thank you for bringing them to us tonight and blessing our hearts with their ministry that you put upon their heart. Bless that ministry, the press, and all the things they do, the people that help out. And may they be able to get more and more Word of God into their hands. So, give us a good evening. Bless our offering that we take for the preacher. Give him safety on the way home as well as ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.